So let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Acts chapter 19, 11 and 12. We're talking about the power of the Spirit of God tonight. And we're going to talk about unusual miracles. Unusual miracles. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. I'm going to read the King James Version. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body we were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. This morning as I woke up, I heard this in my spirit, and I believe the Lord was talking and trying to get something over to me, like Pastor Ken was saying. We sometimes don't really know sometimes that God is talking to us, and yet he's talking to us all the time. The Bible says that the 10th chapter that Jesus said, I speak to my own sheep, and they know my voice. I hear a baby's voice right now. So I think there's Christian, baby Christians in the house tonight. Praise God, amen. Ernie, that's Ernie actually crying. He's blaming the baby. Ernie, you can leave that baby crying anytime you want. Don't feel embarrassed about it. I thank God you're here. And let's give Ernie a hand for bringing those babies, amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate that. And God loves babies. So don't you start crying. Okay? You can cry, but, so we're in competition tonight, but we're doing okay. We're going to start again. We're going to pray again. I'm glad we have an editor. He cut out all. You know what? My wife and Varian, our editor, they're cutting up my messages and everything. And I think they might be saying, making me say some things I never said. He said, oh, we're going to cut all his jokes out. Well, people said, Pastor, oh, we like your humor. So I told them, don't cut those out because that's part of who I am here. But no, they're doing okay. Appreciate them. Here it says that God, everybody say God. Acts chapter 19, 11 says, God wrought special miracles. Everybody say special.
Special.
Well, special. Some version says unusual. You know, I like to think about Brother Hagin used to say special. You know, he says special is something that doesn't happen every day. Like the meat sale at you know, he said, we have a special today. You can buy 2 pounds here for this price, and then you go back to the next day. He said, oh, no, that was yesterday. We don't have that special today. Well, specials don't happen every day. So God wrought special miracles. So this is something that didn't happen all the time in Paul's life. Didn't always happen in the church, but God wrought special miracles. And they do happen. It could be happening today, right now. God could do something special right now.
Amen.
In fact, you know, we could believe God for ourselves. You could say, God specially blessed me today. It says God brought unusual miracles. And he used a man for it, and his name was Paul. And I draw your attention to the word miracle. Well, you know, miracle, I looked it up here. Merriam says, in Webster's Dictionary, says, a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting in a supernatural work of God. This is Merriam talking. Merriam-Webster. Another Bible definition says, the dictionary says, an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause, amen, such as an effect An event manifesting or considered as the work of God. Another one, a miracle is a supernatural intervention in an ordinary course of nature in which natural laws are altered, suspended, or stopped for humanity. God can alter something. God can work in your life right now. Is there something in your body? God can work a miracle in your body. The Bible says all things are possible. The Bible says, Mark 9, I believe it is over there, chapter 9, that, you know, Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes. So we're believers. Naturally, we're all believers. We believe in God. And so it's supernatural. Other Bible names for miracles are powers, signs, wonders, mighty works, wonderful works. You can look at, you know, Young's Concordance or W.E. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament, Old Testament words, and find these in there. And God, the Bible says that God gave Paul or demonstrated through Paul special miracles by his hand, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. You know, if I was sick, I don't care how you did it, I would want you to do whatever you had to do to get me well if I was sick. And, you know, there's different ones that are sick, and sometimes we think that God should do it a certain way, or want to do something the way we're used to in our church or in our culture, you know. But let God do what he has to do. And so sometimes people get mad because they expect God to do certain things in their terms or in the way they think it should be. So I'd like for you to turn over to the Bible over here. Let's go over to an unusual way God was bringing healing over in a story in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to read several verses of Scripture. I think we're going to read maybe 14 verses of Scripture. And let me just see if I can actually figure it out. Second Kings. And we'll see chapter 5. And let's read verse 1. This is about a healing of a man by the name of Naaman. This man was a leper. And let's go and find out here. Let's go ahead and read it in the New Living Translation because it'll help me flow a little bit better here. The king of Aram had a great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram a great victories. But through Naaman, was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. And it says in my notes here that from a contagious skin disease, it says here. The Hebrew word here throughout the passage can be described as skin diseases. So basically leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria." And the prophets, you have to understand, the prophets flowed in the supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. And so they had, the prophets had miracles. They would minister healings, and they would know supernaturally things by the Holy Spirit, and they could perform miracles by the hand of God. Everybody say anointing. Say anointing. So the Bible said God brought special anointing, special miracles by the hands of Paul. So we saw a special anointing over here. This is unusual. So this prophet that the he said, I wish this young girl said, he said, I wish my master would see this prophet back in Israel. So she said, I wish my master would go and see this prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Everybody say, heal him.
Heal him.
You know, sometimes we just run over these scriptures really quickly and we lose some emphasis because this prophecy or this prophet had a healing ministry. And healing ministries existed in the Old Testament. Not just under Jesus, healings happened before Jesus, and miracles of healing happened before Jesus came. And he did certain things. And Jesus himself was a prophet, as well as he's called an apostle of a high priest. He was also a healer, a miracle worker, a healer. And so, so Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel said, go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram, told him, I will send a letter of introduction for you to take the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying with him 750 pounds of silver. That's pretty good. 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of clothing. I bet that clothing was pretty good. Yeah? It was. You couldn't just find this in the, you know, the rack over there at the Walmart. This is just extra clothes. This is really nice clothes. 10 sets of clothing and a letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's trying to pick a fight with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent his message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. You have to understand this guy was a great commander. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with his message. So he didn't go out himself, which is also amazing. And sometimes Jesus, when he healed someone, he didn't always go to a person's house to heal them. Like right now, you can be healed by Jesus sitting in this room. You don't have to be near someone to get them healed. Very often people call me, middle of the night, half the day, when I'm just trying to enjoy my lunch or whatever, say, come on over, to the bedside right over here at the ICU and bring your healing power. Make sure you bring your staff with you. And, strike your hand out here to this sick one and maybe your gods will heal. People don't have that kind of faith. In fact, Jesus told some people, go home right now, your son is healed. And in fact, he told the lepers, remember the 10 lepers were yelling, hey, hey, Jesus, hey, hey, hey. He said, go to the priest, show yourself to the priest. And they were all, really bad, their skin. So the Bible said that those lepers turned around and said, okay, let's just go. He's sending us to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. On the word of Jesus. They believed what Jesus said. They believed that if you in the Old Testament, when you're healed, they would send you to the priest and he would examine you to see whether or not you're healed or not and confirm your healing. That's the Old Testament. So Jesus tells those 10 lepers, that's found in the book of Luke, Go home, go to the priest. So as they went, you know, as they went, the Bible says as they went. You ever say, as they went? That's the sign of faith. They're acting on what Jesus, they're acting on the word. So they got healed just going. And the Bible says one leper came back because he was so excited he got his healing, he went to Jesus to thank Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, I thought we'd send a bunch of you all, and just one guy comes back. The Bible says he came back, the man that came to thank Jesus was made perfectly whole. You know, the others got healed, but they were not perfectly whole. Apparently, that's the meaning we get. You know, we need to believe fully that God will do something. Now, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited, verse 9 says, at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with a message, go out and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy. Now, here's what's happening here. This man, this prophet here, had the healing ministry, but also he had the gifts of the Spirit in operation. What you're seeing here is a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is you're giving a command to something that you already know is going to happen. A word of wisdom is always a word of the Lord of the future tense. So he's giving a word of a future tense, telling me, go dip in the River Jordan and you'll be healed. He saw that in the spiritual realm already. Now he's telling them to act it out in the natural. Can you see that? This is the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit that we find in the New Testament were operating in the Old Testament, except tongues and interpretation of tongues. How many of you can speak with tongues? Well, 1/3 of you. The rest of you can have tongues tonight. I have tongues on my shoes. Yeah. So, you know, when you get the shoe, the tongue came with it. That's what they used to say before. When you get born again, you know, you get the Holy Spirit, tongues come with it. So you don't have anything. You must be Baptist. By nature. Yeah. No, there's Baptists who actually believe. Many of them don't believe in tongues. Even Catholics believe in some Catholics believe in tongues. And anyway, this is what it is right here. What you're seeing here is a word of knowledge. You're seeing a multitude of gifts in operation here. But Naaman became angry and walked and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. He said, I expected him, everybody say expected. I expected him to wave his hand over my leprosy and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers in Damascus and Abana and Parfar better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why should I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in rage. Now, you know, you got to understand, Jesus, God is so wonderful that he'll even heal you when you're mad. Lift that head up and say, thank God. Thank God. I mean, God loves you already. Right? People say, oh, you know, I thought he'll never baptize me in the Holy Ghost. I'm smoking cigarettes. But he did. I mean, I was just filled with the Holy Spirit and he healed me. I mean, God saved us when we were sinners. God saved us. His mercy is so wonderful. Far greater than we could ever think about. And so here, but his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, would you have done it? So should you certainly obey him when he says, when he simply says, go wash and be cured? So Naaman went down into the Jordan River and dipped himself seven times, as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Isn't that a good miracle? Unusual miracle. Isn't that? It doesn't happen every day. So what if another guy went over there and said, okay, Lord, listen, Naaman, you got any more of those dip in the Jordan healings? You know? So he said, well, no, we don't have that. We can't do that for you today because I only had one for this guy. But no, he wasn't doing that. And so sometimes, you know, we make plans that way. So God, you know, thank God in the New Testament that healing belongs to every child of God. It's in the redemptive plan. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, the Bible says that healing was granted to us. I heard this in my spirit as I woke up. That himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. Matthew 8, 17. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 8 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Verse 17 says that himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He bore them. The Bible said he bore them. He took it on himself. What he bore in his body was our sin so that he can give us our healing. So we're going to stand on that. So here we saw an unusual miracle by the hands of Paul. So the Bible says, or at least the prophet here, it was an unusual miracle. Let us go to another scripture. We're going to see another unusual way that God will manifest his healing. Over in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This is the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7. And verse 31. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody sounds like they're full of milk now. 31, Mark 31. Let's go ahead and read in the King James Version. We want a little bit more drama here. Amen? How are you doing back over there, Stacy? Okay. So, 31, then. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee and through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. You can't do that during COVID. Huh? And looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said, "Ephphatha." That's how he said it. I don't know what he said. "Ephphatha." "Ephphatha?" That is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that he should tell no man, but more to charge them, the more a great deal they published it. We can talk about that last verse another time because, you know, he was, it's not that he was cheap with his healing. It's just that, you know, there were some things, situations that he was trying to avoid. But, so here is a situation, this is not a usual way to minister healing. You know, you say, let's go over to Roma. He'll put his finger in your ears. Then he'll spit on you. Well, all those things, you can be taken to get arrested. Right? That's not the usual way to heal. And you better not try that on anybody. You tell somebody, like, you know, They'll phone me. I'll just say, go jump in the dirty waters of Boulevard Lake. So this is what Naaman was thinking, right? I'm not going to jump in that dirty water. My lakes are better where I come from. After all, I'm a commander. And so we have this idea about how God should do stuff for us. But this man, they brought this man to Jesus, and he put his finger into ears, and he spit, and he got him healed. In Paul's situation, Acts chapter 19, the Bible says they took aprons or just, you know, rags or whatever, you know, I'm not sure what is it called, those things? Napkins, right? And so the handkerchiefs, and they took it from his body, and they took the napkin and put it to sick people who actually had demons as well. And the diseases departed, and the demons ran out of, left the people. That's pretty good. How many want a handkerchief tonight? Right? I noticed stories about that. You know, I know at Rhema, you can get a handkerchief and you know, you can buy a new one or just rip it off your coat or something and put it there, you know. And then they pray over those things, you know, and they take them to someone in the hospital. And we've heard of people getting healed this way. Even right here, we had someone in this church brought the brother was dying of cancer, was in the late stages of cancer. They were told, you're going to die maybe next week, you're going to die. So we prayed and laid hands on the handkerchief, and she took that handkerchief to the hospital, and the person recovered.
Wow. Hallelujah.
That's a miracle. That's an unusual miracle. Doesn't always happen. So we can believe that. We have grounds to believe it. Yeah, we do. The precedent is in the Bible. We follow what they do in the Bible. That's the law of faith. Thank God for it. Amen. Let's go look at another unusual one. Let's look at the 8th chapter of Mark. The 8th chapter, the 22nd verse. Hallelujah. The 8th chapter, the 22nd verse, he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man. Who did they bring to him? A blind man. And they besought him to touch him. And so very often they ask Jesus to touch people for a point of contact, so that when you touch someone, the anointing on him would go into the sick person and drive out the sickness. It's because he carried the anointing. The anointing was on him. I was listening to a story. Brother Hagin taught us a story that he went to he went to a restaurant after meeting, after a church service. He went to the restaurant and he saw someone in there in the restaurant that he hadn't seen for a long, long time. He said, I'm going to go and see so-and-so. His wife said, you know, go ahead and sit down. And he went over there. And he came to the person who was sitting in the restaurant. And he just went over and touched the person on the shoulder. He said, how you doing, Joe? You look different. Did you get a new hairstyle? And while he's, you know, as he touched the woman, the man, it's a woman, yeah. and he just greeted each other. Yeah, it was good to see you, Joe. And you know, he went home, they ate that night. But what happened was, that person was actually really, really sick. Had a very to a terminal situation, a cancer, a situation so bad that he happened to be there that night when Brother Hagin walked into that place, and he was sick. And so, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't really that sick that he couldn't move around, but he went home, And he got totally healed. Because Brother Hagin touched him. The man had respect for Brother Hagin. The Bible says when you respect someone who has anointing, that anointing will come upon that person and drive out the sickness. We were having a meeting over on Court Street, and that same thing happened to me. Actually, I didn't know. You know, I went up to someone and I greeted the mom of this man, and he was a traditional person, and I went to talk to the mom, and I shook the man's hand, and as soon as I touched the man, the power of God went into him, and he said he just had the flash of God went all over his whole body. And after they left there, because the mother invited the son over, he said, "Who's that man? When he touched me, something went all over me." And that's the understanding of the Lord. Like, I didn't know that happened actually, but it's a good story. Because the mom called me and said, "This is what happened tonight, in the service." Because you don't know what's going to happen, how God's going to use you. Like, I can try that right now. It might not work. It could work. But it will. For most people who believe, it can work. So they besought him to touch him, verse 22. And verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes, there you go again, that spitting business. Put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw. And he looked up, and he said, "I see men as trees walking." So evidently this man had sight before. After he put his hands upon him again, his eyes made him look up, he was restored. And he saw every man clearly. He sent him away to his house. He said, "Neither go to the town and tell no one in that town." Because Jesus knew that he'd go back to the same people, let him out. In fact, he let him out of that town to heal him. He took the man out of town. And Brother Hagin said, "Some of you need to get out of town. Some of you need to get out of some churches who don't teach healing." He said, "Don't go back to that town. Because they'll talk you out of it. They'll bring the same unbelief and get you sick again." I was at a place in Hearst, Ontario, and I was at a Pentecostal. We were working with the Pentecostal people there, and we had a meeting in a school where it's a bigger place, and so we had a lot of people coming to the meeting. And the power of God was in demonstration, and we were calling out healings. The power of God was moving, and people were falling in their chairs. The power of God was very strong. And so some of you who were believing and you sensed God's healing you, come on up. We want to find out who you are. We want to confirm some things. So a lady came, and the ushers that I had about four ushers with me, and they grabbed the lady because she couldn't get up, couldn't walk. So she was barely walking. In fact, we had four or five ushers, and they were carrying them, and they all fell down with her. That's how the power of God was very strong. And so this lady had been suffering with epilepsy for some 20 years, 25 years, and she'd have maybe two or three major episodes a week. She couldn't do anything. She couldn't live properly. And so soon as this happened to her, the power of God came upon her in that meeting. This is in Hearst, Ontario. And she was completely restored. After that day, for 6 months, nothing happened to her. But she went back to that same church. They said, "Oh, you can't trust that Roma. He's working some Indian magic. And he's doing something, tricking you and whatever." And that lady got sick again. So Jesus tells this person, he let him out of town. Let him out of that place. And he said, "Don't go back to that town. Don't go back to those people. People will talk you out of it." So it's amazing. And, what you can get spiritually, somebody can steal it from you. The devil wants to steal from you what you got. Glory to God. Well, we don't want to have that happen to us. Let's look at one more incident over here in the book of, in the Gospels. Mark or John chapter 9. Now, you could discuss this in very good detail and find out a lot of things about these healings. But we're just showing you incidents of unusual healings instead of discussing them in detail. John chapter 9, everybody say unusual miracles. Come on, say unusual. Say anointing. Praise God. It's available tonight. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here. And we believe. Glory to God. Now, Acts chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Here's a guy he'd never seen. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, they believed that, you know, the Jews, people had a belief in there that you could actually sin in your mom's tummy, in your womb, you could sin. And so that's what they believed. They have that, you know, and you read that in the Old Testament. Jesus answered, he said, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God may be manifest in him. So you're reading this, you know, with the commentary or the commas or punctuations. So the punctuations are added by the translators. But if you read this, you know, without the commas, and you see, you know, there's something here that's wrong. He said people think that this man was born blind so that God can heal him. That's the way he interpreted it when you see the punctuation. But Jesus said, neither had this man sense, but that God would manifest himself. You know, it says here, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes, no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And he just spoke and he spat. Here he goes again, he's spitting. Right? He spat and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the man, blind man, with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is being interpreted sent. He went his way, therefore washed and came saying. This is unusual kinds of way to minister healing. So you know, what's the point here? The point is that, you know, God can do what he wants to do. Amen. In fact, Jesus was ministering this way. He didn't minister this way all the time. The majority of the way he ministered was he laid hands on people. And he gave us the ministry of laying on the hands because he told us in the 16th chapter to lay hands on people to minister healing. So that's what we call the point of contact. Healing with the laying on hands is what we call the point of contact, so that when I lay hands on you, that's the point where we believe that healing is ministered to you. That's the point in time. You look at your watch. That Pastor Roma laid hands on me at 9:25 on this Wednesday, June the 28th, 2022. And you walk out the door and say, I was healed last night, June 28th, at, you know, 9:30. It's getting later. You know, I was healed in 2022. And you don't even look any better. They said, were you healed when Pastor Roma laid down? Yes, sir. Do you feel any better? No. You still have the symptoms? Yes. But are you healed? Yes. Well, why would you say that? Well, because we believe in the Bible. So Naaman was not healed sitting in his room, or, you know, sitting in his chariot, right? The man over here, when Jesus made the clay, spit on his eyes, and he put that anointed man's eyes, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. If the man says, no, I don't believe that. Jesus, you're just kidding. You spit on the ground there, just tricking me, aren't you? No, I'm not going to go anywhere. Let me just wash my eyes. Just give me a basin. I'll wash my eyes over here. No, he wouldn't have been healed. So he was just following what the Lord had, you know, described to him what he should do. So let's not wait for something to happen. Let's go ahead and believe God together. So unusual miracles. Let's go ahead and stand up. We want to pray. I just wanted to show you that tonight from scriptures, that God can do things like this even in our time. Hallelujah, amen. So we don't tell God, heal me this way. You know, we just say, Lord, we believe in healing. Any way you want to do it, I'm going to receive my healing tonight. So let's believe God for our healing tonight. Maybe you have a sick one at home. But we're going to believe God together. Lord, we want to thank you tonight. Let's go ahead and lift our hands in unison and in faith together. The Bible says where there's unity, the power of God is. So Father, we lift up our hands in faith, believing that you're here with us. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for unusual miracles. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here right now like you are where my loved one is. You're right there right now where they are right now in that room, in that bed, in that house. You're there right now 2,000 miles away like you're here right now because you're everywhere. You're Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. The ever-present God in the time of trouble. We're believing you tonight that you can do things extraordinarily. You said all things are possible to him who believes. So we're believing in the Word. We're believing in you. No, we're not believing in ourselves that we're such wonderful prayers. We're not believing that we're just holy, such holy people. And you've made us holy, but we're not in ourselves. We thank you for that, for separating us and making us righteous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing that person in the ankles, in the bottom of their calf right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for that cold, that the symptoms of I don't know what it is, pneumonia or whatever it is, chest soreness and stiffness, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Begin to breathe in. Breathe in because Jesus is healing you right now. Thank you, Lord. Someone's jaw is being healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Someone like electricity shot from the top of your head right down to your legs in Jesus' name. Thank you for straightening that person up in the name of Jesus. I give you praise, Lord. We give you praise for miracles of healing. Hallelujah. Someone is believing God here for finances. And God says in his word, he provides all things. And that finances is coming your way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for a financial miracle. The money is coming in. The money will be there. Thank you for stomach ailments. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We rebuke sickness. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the devil. Go and leave that home right now in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Malakisi bebabosa. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you can. Hallelujah for the power of God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, for the kneecap. In the name of Jesus, you've had a crack in your kneecap or something like that. In the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the throat. Be healed in your throat right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Malakisi, malamakosa kima. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for filling people with the Holy Ghost right now. Filling people with the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead and start speaking in tongues. Right now. Go ahead. Baba kiri deba soto manana kiresi. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Malakisi be namalamakosa. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for stomach ailments in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.